makes you think of me as a professor. And so the title is, If You Do Your Part, Adonai Will Do His. If you do your part, Adonai will do his. During the message, I'll share with you the other title that the Lord gave me, and then the ones that I came up with myself. First reading, to set this up, is let's go to Psalms 19. Psalms 19 is the famous psalm that has the portion that says the Torah of Adonai is perfect, converting the soul, etc. It's a wonderful song, wonderful psalm. It's a powerful psalm. It starts in verse 2. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky shows his handiwork. Day to day they speak. Night to night they reveal knowledge. There's no speech, there's no words, where their voice goes unheard. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Los cielos cuentan la gloria de Dios. El firmamento la obra de sus manos. Un día emite palabra a otro día. Las noches declaran sabiduría. No hay mensaje ni palabra, ni es oída su voz. Por toda la tierra salió su voz, y hasta los confines sus palabras. In Jeremiah 5, verse 21 and 22, it says, hear this, you foolish people who have no understanding, who have eyes but not see, who have ears and do not hear. Do you not fear me, says Adonai? Some of you are listening to these words from Jeremiah. I said Isaiah. It's Jeremiah 5, 21 and 22. You can hear Yeshua saying the same words. Having ears to hear, they do not hear. Yeshua's, I'll share that a little later. Here's the key scripture from Romans chapter 1, verse 20. This is from the TLV. His invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world, being understood through the things that have been made, so people are without excuse. In the King James Version, this is the one I memorized. See how well I can remember. For his invisible attributes, okay, his eternal power and his Godhead are clearly seen ever since the world was created, being understood by the things that are made, therefore they are without excuse. I've always marveled at that scripture. I learned it 46 years ago, even before I was saved. It was part of the scripture that was used a lot in the church that Marilyn invited me to go. It's the first time I'd been into a Pentecostal church like that. I've always marveled since I heard that scripture, because the word says in Romans 1:20, let me highlight some things about that. It says that we are without excuse. Okay? It says they are without excuse. The they, of course, is us. Another way to understand this truth is as follows. Look, we can, through our natural sensory system, the things that are made, that we know have been made, perceive and understand his divine nature and his eternal power from the things that have been made. Let me now say it in another title for the message. I didn't choose this one because someone else already had, and I didn't want to appear as the copycat. To discern the supernatural from the natural. You can discern the supernatural from the natural. You can perceive from the things that are made his eternal power and his Godhead. That's the King James Version. Okay? You can discern his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature. Those are things of God. Those are spiritual things. Those are magnificent things. And the Bible says that we can actually observe that. That we can actually perceive that. Let me remind us that Yeshua made clear when he quoted Jeremiah that what we see with our eyes is not all there is. If what we see with our eyes is all there is, then we need to sing the song. Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. Furthermore, there's a truth that needs to be understood. That word understood was there. Being understood. Which whenever we understand something, the scripture is implying that we're going to be activating a supernatural sensory system. And that sensory system that we activate when we understand what the scripture is telling us is from him. But the problem that I'm trying to get to is that we need to begin to understand that something that we do with our natural eyes, something that we do with our natural realm, has the capacity to reveal the supernatural realm. Has the capacity to show us his invisible attributes and his eternal power. I would call that the supernatural realm. My friends, that's a leap in perception from the natural to the supernatural. Here's the problem. We think and have been taught erroneously that happens automatically. We have thought that, you know, because we get all of Yeshua at salvation, because we're translated from the evil kingdom to the kingdom of God, that everything is available to us. The answer is yes, it is. But we've got to activate it. Everything about the Lord is available to us. We don't have to go buy it again. It's there on the day that you say, Yeshua, come into my heart. But you've got to activate it. It doesn't happen automatically. It has to be activated. Therefore, we're not going to get his part until we do our part. Correct? We're not going to get his part, which is available, until we do our part. Let me illustrate. I was a professor of robotics at the University of Florida from 1993 until I retired. I led a laboratory called the Machine Intelligence Laboratory. And we built autonomous agents, so-called robots. Intelligent machines, which is what my lab was about, and a course that I taught since 1993 until I retired in 2016. In the intelligent machines design course, that we were teaching the students to build a machine that could perceive outside of its world, the machine world, through natural sensors. No sensors, no intelligence. Okay? Without intelligence, it's just a dumb machine. It's all going to do what it's going to do. It doesn't have any way to alter what it does. It doesn't have a way to make decisions or any of those things. It's just a dumb machine. However, you can take a dumb machine, like a little you build, and I used to bring it to class, this little dumb-looking machine, okay? And all it could do was go forward, and if I push a button, it would stop. Push a button, go forward. That's it. And then I brought something called a light-emitting diode. You've heard of those things, LEDs. And then I brought something called a CDS cell. CDS, cadmium sulfide cell. Built exactly the same way as a light-emitting diode. Works exactly the same way. When light hits this little device that costs 75 cents back in the day, back in the 90s, okay, at Radio Shack. They don't exist no more, right? So you go to Radio Shack, you can buy a cadmium sulfide, this little cell like that. And it's a resistor. When the light hits it, it gets more excited. And when it gets more excited, current flows through it. When it's dark, it's like a bear. Light has to get through it. It doesn't get through it as fast as it did before. So it's a resistor. So we can connect that to a port in the robot that read the value of the CDS cell with a resistor. So we calibrate it, pick the right resistance, put 5 volts on the other side, and when it was dark, the value would be like a big resistor. let me use the number 1,000, although it's really a low number. I need to use more like 1,000,000 or whatever. But anyway, 1,000 works fine. 1,000 resistance when it's dark. So 5 volts divided by 1,000, okay, is 0.005 amps, right? And so, turn on the light and read it again. And now, the resistance is become 1/10 of what it was. So instead of 1,000, it's now 100. 5 divided by 100 is 0.05. Would you say 0.05 is way much bigger than 0.005? So it was really simple. If we take that value, either 0.05 or 0.005, and run it through a resistor of a known value, and then that becomes a voltage. And I could measure that voltage. So if the voltage was high, the lights were off. If the voltage was the voltage was low, the high lights were up. The voltage was high through the little resistor, then that means that the light was on. Oh, instead of a button, we used a light-emitting diode just so that we could see it. And so when the current was low, the light-emitting diode looks weak. The voltage is high. When the light's on, the current goes up by a factor of 10. The light-emitting diode is now a little brighter. And now, the voltage is lower. And I use that as a button. High voltage, don't go. Low voltage, go. So now, I would actually take that, put it in the robot, in the classroom now, in the classroom, in front of everybody. I take it and wire it up. Of course, I had to have software. So the software part was really very simple for engineers. If the voltage is low, don't go. If the voltage is high, go. Or vice versa. It doesn't really matter, you know, one or the other. So then I did that and I'd say, okay, let's turn on the robot. And it starts moving because the light's on. Then I have a student get up and turn the lights off, and the robot would come to zero, stop, and the light would become dim. At the end of the 10-minute presentation, everybody's going, it costs a lot of money. A CDS sells 90 cents when they were expensive. We used to get them like 1,000 for 10 cents. And LEDs are really cheap back in those days. So for a resistor is really cheap. So with almost no money and sensors and a computer program, we could make the robot obey the light. Then I go and get somebody and say, now we have phones, right? Later in the course, I'd say, just take your phone. We turn off the light, take your phone. Somebody take your phone, turn on your light, and guide the robot. In other words, shine the light and it moves, and don't shine it and it doesn't move. You know, if you shine it away, we could even make it so that the amount of voltage is proportional to the speed. That's the next class. And in doing that, we could then go or not go, and go fast if the light is closed, and go slow if the light is not, and come to a halt. Again, the class would go. That's what we're going to do in this class. That was the first day. That's what we're going to do in the class. Except you're going to build the machine, and you're going to get whatever sensors you want, and you're going to put them in it, and then use that information and write a program. And if at the end of the semester, your proposal of what your machine's going to do, you're going to demo it in front of everybody. And if it does what it did, what you said it would do, una-a. And if it doesn't do what you say you do, oh my gosh, this could be in trouble. It's all or nothing. I tell the client, all or nothing. If this is not what you like, get out today. You can drop today, the first day of class. But if this is what you like, you're going to design the machine of your volition. You're going to build it yourself. I'm not going to build it. You're going to build it. I'm a stupid professor. I don't know anything about building. Now, my TAs, they know all about that. So they're going to be available to you. And we're going to teach you about how to connect the motors and do all these connections. We'll teach you about that. But you put the sensors in, and you write the program, and make it do what you said it's going to do. You make a proposal, we approve it. Or we don't approve it, and you have to change it. But whatever's approved, that becomes the contract between you and I. You deliver, I deliver the A. You don't deliver, then I don't deliver the A. Well, what do I need to do to get a B? Well, I have no idea. Somebody said, well, what do you need to do to get a C? I have no idea about that. Basically, this is an all or nothing class. Can you handle that? Student, can you handle that? Because this is what you're going to do when you graduate. You're going to go work for somebody, and you're going to have to deliver. And if you don't deliver, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove a Chevy to the levee, and the levee was dry. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to become awesome. We'll even have the TV station come, which they did. Channel 20 always came. Channel 5 always did. And we're going to take videos, and we're going to put this on the internet. So either you can now be the author of a stupid machine or the author of something awesome. And, you know, the engineers just loved it. It's only about 20 that was allowed to be in the class. So if they dropped, there were always these other people wanted to add. Doesn't really matter to me. And usually we get about 20, and then about 3 weeks they go, oh, no, this is way higher, more difficult than I've ever imagined. And so some drop out before the drop period. Some don't. We did not give all A's. There were no exams. There was no homework. How are you going to motivate them to come to class? The president of the Senate, not United States, it seemed like the United States, U.S. Senate, asked me the question. I said, oh, I'm going to get them there. You see, I've already been doing this for 10 years, and I know what to do. And I don't have but a 1 to 2% failure to attend. Because we share how to do it in class. If you don't get it, then you go learn it on your own. We share all the stuff that we've accumulated over the years. Don't want to learn it? Fine. No problem. Show me the goods. Where is the beef? So anyway, that was my class. Even though a robot can operate in daylight or nighttime, depending on a sensor, in this case, a really cheap sensor, there are things that we could not discern. For example, a robot, a machine, could not perceive intuition. Hello? It cannot perceive moods, and it cannot perceive intuition. Now, we can get close to moods. We can put a camera on it and face it on your face and look at your eyes. And some people say that your mood will be visible by your eyes. Okay? But that's still a very crude way because, you know, somebody can fool it. And I can have this smile and then go like, the robot thinks I'm mad. So did the dog, and so did the kids. And I wink my eye at Marilyn and say, I'm not mad at all. But they think so that's fine. Mathematically speaking, intuition is non-causal. In other words, we don't know what causes it. Right? Yet it is there. We don't know what causes it, but it's there. Intuition is there. Look, no input, nothing that can be perceived, no input produces an output. The output of intuition. Where is the input? Well, we can't build a machine if we don't have any inputs. Because then, so what do? If you don't know what happened, what do you do? Flip a coin and do something. You can be a random thing. In my August 24, 2019 message, I preached a message here called Spiritual Wi-Fi. What is Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi is a signal that is sent for that little box over there with the green light. It's there. It's in there. That little box with the green light is sending 2.4 gigahertz signal. It's here. How is it here? Because we put it there. John and I put it there. It's here. Okay? Can you see it with your eyes? Can you hear it with your ears? Well, no, we all know the answer. Okay? We know the answer, what Yeshua said to his friends. He says, having eyes you do not see, and having ears you do not hear. That's like Wi-Fi. Unless you turn on the modem in your phone or in the tablet or something, you can't get it. But it's there. It's there. How do you know it's there? If I'm connected to the Wi-Fi, and I am, then I can go to the website of the congregation, and there it is. Or I can go to ESPN. We can go to wherever you want to go. Obviously, the signal's there. When I connect to it, I begin to use it because I can perceive it now. Okay? Yeshua said you don't perceive the spiritual truth and actions that are happening in my very presence, in your presence. Because you're having ears, don't hear, like Jeremiah said, and having eyes, you do not see. How do we know that we're supposed to be able to discern the spiritual? Answer. Because God said so. I read to you one of those in Romans 1:20. Because he said so. Evidently, Yeshua was telling them, hey, you can perceive. And they're looking at, you know, how we don't see. He's going like, wrong with you. Turn on your Wi-Fi. Turn on your phone. Evidently, as Yeshua was speaking with them, they were being introduced to a whole new sensory system. One that's operating in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm, but can be perceived from the natural. The sensory system is enabled, by the way, when the Holy Spirit unites with our spirit. That happened at salvation. And it's operating. But the problem is the majority of us have no clue that it's working. We don't. It's there. If somebody put an LED on it, go, oh, yeah, that's the LED of the Spirit. Just came on. Now I know he's here. Okay? For example, we cannot see, hear, or taste that Wi-Fi signal. My friend is in this room. You say, well, how do I know that you didn't preload that? Well, let's see what ESPN does if I hit reload. Change the picture. Unless you connect, you have to connect. If you don't connect, it doesn't do you any good. It can be here all you want to, and if you don't connect, and if you don't know the password for it, you can't, by the way. It's useless to you. Question, how do we activate the spiritual sensory system? The answer is in the Word. Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Let me make the statement that we need to start acting like we're living in the kingdom of heaven. In a spiritual kingdom that has a reality that is happening at the same time as our human reality, this spiritual reality is happening in the kingdom that we're citizens of, and we are not connecting. Oh boy. You know, I don't really even have all that much more to go. So let me give some examples. The physical reality is that we're often discouraged, isn't it?
I'm the only one who gets discouraged around here.
But the spiritual reality is that we're seated in heavenly places with Yeshua. That's at the right hand of the Father. I mean, it's like right there, between them. The physical reality is that I may be poor and destitute. The spiritual reality is, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. That's a spiritual reality. Well, why are you poor and destitute? Then my God isn't supplying. So it's a God problem, right? Yeah, it is. It's a God problem because he already decided how he's going to do it. And you've got to connect. He wants to do it, but you got to connect. The physical reality is that I may have a disease, even cancer, even whatever it is. And the doctors are looking at us saying, well, when they don't talk and they say, well, it's not well. You know for sure it's not well. You go, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. But the spiritual reality of the kingdom is that by his stripes, I am and was healed. What is going on? Here's what's going on. The fact is that we need to do what we can, which is something in the natural. When I say do what we can, is what we're capable of doing. Okay? You take the definition, do what you can. That's like, you know, come up with all the ideas and whatever. No, I'm just saying, what are you able to do? Whatever you're able to do, you need to do it. Because unless you do it, Adonai will not do anything. Adonai will do what he wants to do and what he can do. What can he do? What are the limits of Adonai? Infinite. He can do anything. Here's another name for the message today. When you do the natural, God will do the supernatural. That is, this is a congregation that is in need to activate miracles. Don't we? That's the supernatural. Thus, we need to act in a natural way by doing something we can do, confident that our action enables and activates Adonai to do his will. Okay? I didn't know that Carly was speaking today. Did you hear the whole preamble of the thing? What she can't do. What I'm unable to do. What I don't want to do. In other words, we say, I can't do it. And so, we do nothing. Well, actually, we do something. It's called complaint. Tiki bird stuff. Instead, if we took the initiative and begin doing what we can do, he will in turn respond with his eternal power and deity. And when you start doing that, you will begin to see the supernatural. She didn't tell you how it happened, did she? I listened very careful to what she said. She said she got started. Did you hear that? I just decided I'm going to do this. I'm going to stake with the congregation. I'm going to do this. So, what's the secret pill? What was the secret of the success? How did she get there? The answer is, she did something. She didn't just sit there and go, she didn't call everybody on the phone and say, I can't. I can't. None of that. What she did for a while, she said. Didn't get her nowhere. So she got a little smart. Talked to John and said, I'm sure John told her, well, honey, all you got to do is sit in the corner and look good, smell good, and it all happened to you. When we do start doing something, we will see the supernatural. And it'll have an effect. And when it actually happens, you go, how did I get there? Did she tell you how she did it? Did she tell you God helped her? Did she tell you that the Lord opened doors for her? Did she tell you that, you know, she got better employment? Did she tell you any of that? Oh, no.
Carly, you're so good looking. Just sit there.
And that's what we think. We think that, oh, well, Yeshua has said that my Lord can supply all my needs according to my riches in glory. Jehovah Jireh, you know, and get into all that kind of stuff, and we don't do nothing. We think about it. We think about it. We might even tell the dog or the cat or the Marilyn talk to the kitchen appliances. She talks to the dishpan. When we stop doing the silly and stupid natural stuff and begin to do some real natural things, like saying to the Lord, well, I'm going to take you at your word. And I'm going to start doing. I don't know when I'm going to get out of debt. And you say, oh, well, see, Carly did it because she's not even here. It's typical of me. I talk when people aren't here. Did she, like, have a goal? Yeah. Did she say put a timeline on that? Did she say that she had to go into a convent? Did she become a nun? A nun. Okay? Did she say that her bottom got bigger because she sat all the time? That's what we think. Come on, sit right here. And you're going to do for me. What are you doing? Nothing. You don't demonstrate faith, right? By the actions. Faith without works is dead. I'll show you my faith with what I do. Let me review very simply. You want something from God? Believe it and start acting like it. And start doing with the expectation that the hand of God is going to meet you. And you don't know which, when, where, or any of those things. And I assure you that he will. How can you prove that? Prove it to me. I have a few examples. Can humans walk on water? Peter did because he did what? He did what? No. He didn't keep his eyes on Yeshua. When he took his eyes from Yeshua, he started sinking. No, he did more than he had faith. He stepped out of the boat. That's right. There are 11 other people there. All righteous. John the Revelator's there. And Matthew is there. Did they get to walk in the water? Why not? They didn't step out. The only one with the Peter. He stepped out on the water. I understand what you're trying to say. I'm trying to get to a point. He stepped out of the boat into the water. He stepped in it. Could John do that? Could Philip do that? Why didn't they get it? Okay, now you're going to go into the episode that he started looking around and took his eyes off Yeshua, etc. And now he starts sinking. And he said, God save me. And Yeshua said, all right, Peter. The rebuke was something like this. You of little faith. Right? I want to ask a question. You want to have little faith or you want to have no faith? How much faith did the other 11 have? Zilcho. Why? Did they believe it here? Did they think that Peter could and Yeshua could? And they're going, well, I'm not brave enough. I think that we should settle for little faith over, because we sit around, we are the 11, watching the action. And don't dare get in it. I did come to preach, you know. The paralytic man in Mark 2. He wants to get healed. He wants to get healed. He believes Yeshua can heal him. What's the problem? I can't get there. I'm paralytic. So I can't get there. So evidently he persuaded some friends to help him out. So that the promise that he wants, it's inside that house. And I can't get there. So they got very creative. I'm sure there was a John Davis among those and a Sam and a Michael Baldwin and a Gene and Joe. And they got together and said, well, let's go take the roof apart. So they climbed up there, took the roof apart, and lowered him. The guy can't do nothing. But did he do something? You know, he got his friends to do something for him. How about that? The principle is sometimes you don't even have to do it yourself. Anyway, get there. Huh? Not going there. So he got lowered, okay, in front of Yeshua. And Yeshua did something like, been waiting for you. No. He didn't go like, what kind of deal is this? That's probably the apostles' deal. Okay? Do you recall that sometimes he asked questions like, awesome, your sins are forgiven. Wait a minute. I just want to walk. Who said anything about sins? Your sins are forgiven. You think that there's a principle that if the sins are forgiven, the miracle happens in the health? So the people go, what is he talking about? He can't forgive sins. That's the son of Joseph. He's over there. You know, it's this guy's ugly. Well, he's not pretty to look at, according to Isaiah. So I know Marilyn used to get on me when I do that. Don't call the Lord ugly. Well, Isaiah did. Isaiah 53. I'm using it for effect. So stand up here. Thanks, I needed that. All right, so for effect, you don't believe in? And he goes, some of you boys and girls, some of you called Simca people are trying to look at certain circumstances and stuff like that. And if it doesn't agree with your theology, oh, come on now. If that's not the way they do it in the Baptist church. That's not the way they do it in the Catholic. That's not the way they do it in the Pentecostal. That's not the way they do it in the Messianic movement. So he goes, so that you know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins as well as to heal, get up and walk. So, you know, by the way, this is what he didn't do. Let me pray about it. Let's ask the Lord if he wants to heal here. Let's try to discern what it is that's supposed to happen here so that I can speak for the Lord and not get in trouble. I had to face that music many times. So what I do is I find a scripture. And if a scripture said something, I ain't got no problem declaring it. Because it ain't my words, no way. And it's not my power, no way. It's his power. And it's his word. Let me give you another one. David defeated Goliath. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, right? What did David have to do? He did nothing, right? No, he did something. What did he do? He stood in front of the giant and said, you messed up. You are fixing to find out what the God of Israel has already said about you, and you are done. He could have spit, and the guy would have fallen. But instead, he's doing something. Get it? He's doing something. But God took the little stone from a kid and turned it into a guided missile. And it went right there, in between the place it had to go. Right there. Boom. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. I was hoping the Lord would send one of those Scud missiles into the Temple Mount and blow it up. Anyway, that didn't happen. He did something, okay? David took action, and the miracle happened. In the feeding of the 5,000, do you remember that? It's in Matthew 14. What did Yeshua say? Well, what's the issue? Well, the apostles are looking around, and everybody's hungry. So the Oneg people are really upset. We ain't got no food. We ain't got enough. Na, 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 na. Okay, so they look at each other and say, what you gonna do, Peter? I got no idea. And what you gonna do, Matthew? I ain't no nothing to do. Come on, John, come up with an idea. Nobody comes up with an idea. But they start doing something, right? They start looking to see if there's some food somewhere, and they find a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Watch it. Yeshua, when they said, hey, we can't feed them. Look, they're compassion. Look at those people. They're hungry. Ain't got nothing to this like over here. In a few minutes, they're going to run out of here like, I'm hungry. I'm going to have something to eat. Okay, well, what are we? By the way, there's people already setting that up. That's why they're not here. Wonderful. What did Yeshua say? Actually, he could have said, well, feed them. He was known for giving those kind of answers. But what did he ask? Read it. Read it. Read that dumb word. What did he ask? Well, what do you guys got in order to accomplish this? Lord, let's see. I got 3 ones. I got a handkerchief. I don't have a mint here, but I did have one earlier. I got a mint. I got oil. Peppermint oil. We can improve on the breath of everybody and help with their digestion. What do you got? We got this. Suppose they never went and looked for any loaves and fishes. Suppose that they didn't do anything. Do you think that maybe the miracle would have not happened? Let me propose to you that there is a principle in Scripture about how God works. Actually, God works by you taking what he said and acting on it, which enables him to add to your little miserable whatever it is and multiply it and feed 5,000 people. And by the way, it wasn't even that the 12 had anything. They had nothing. They found some little boy with stuff. What a great principle. Because sometimes what we need, kids got it. But you just ask the kids. Most kids would just give it to you. Give it to me so I can feed all these people. The kid's going like, you're going to feed all the body with it? Stand still and see the salvation of God. What do you got in your hand? A pickle. Extend your pickle. Extend your pickle. In Mark 7 and 8. Yeshua did a couple miracles, but he spit first. Huh? He spit first. Did he need to spit? Okay, well, it is some holy reason, okay? The holy spitters. So have you ever wondered, like, let me see, can I really figure this out? Like, what did he spit for? It's a principle. You know what the principle is? He did something. And then his father acted. He's teaching you and I to do even the most mundane thing. Like it? I hope that you take it. Otherwise, I'd like to have, if you didn't get it, come up here and we're going to practice kicking the ball until you get it. How are you continuing to flounder? Why do you continue to flounder? Why do you continue to have the half-truths? And why do you live according to the no riches, nothing that you have? Instead of living according to the riches that he has in heaven. What's the difference? What needs to be changed? Needs to be changed right here in the heart. And then take the word at what he said. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't start putting if, ands, buts and all that on it. Don't paint it blue. Don't paint it red. He just said, this is what I said. And just declare what he said and act on it as if it were true. You hear what I just said? You act on it as if it were true. Is it true? Oh, you need to act on it as if it's truth. That's the problem, as if it were truth. It's truth, my friend. We say we do not have enough money to give offerings. So how are we going to get out of debt? How about that? You just don't know how bad my husband is, or my wife, or my aunt, or my kids. The kid says, you don't know how my mom is. You don't know my family. It's bad. Here's another typical. My son, my daughter, my neighbor, my uncle, they'll never change. I think I heard someone say that about Jessica. My attitude was, and I said it at the funeral, do what God said, and we are going to see the miracle. She didn't believe it. Most people don't. Hang around the congregation. See what happens. We got the antidote, man. We got the elixir. We've got the green stuff. Blue stuff. The red stuff. We got God. He can do all things. We believe it. We act like it. Here's another one. It is impossible for me to move forward and get out of this crappy job I'm getting and all of this if I never have any opportunities. It got really quiet. I must be hitting a chord somewhere. Am I striking you? Let me see. And then go like Jack in the Box. Boop. Well, I'm here. I have an answer for you. Even so, all that's truth. Oh yeah. Even so, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. In my situation, on earth, as it is in heaven. Here's another one. It's at the end of the Bible. Even so. Come, Lord Yeshua. Even so, come. And I have finally the answer to, what do we need the answer? The answer is two words. But God. The answer is but God. In our humanity, in our lack of this, in our situation, in all those things, we want to have a pity party. I think Carly would agree that she will. Well, she said she was looking for a pity party from herself. Okay, let's all have the pity party company here. Oh, you know what? I'm offended. I don't care if you're offended. I don't care if you hurt. I don't care. You know, this is what my son used to say. I don't care. Well, I'm going to quote my son. I don't care. I don't care what the excuse is. But God. All of that stuff doesn't matter. But God. Do you think God still heals? Do you think people are healed from addictions? Do you think that people are healed from cancer? Do you think people can get jobs? Do you think people can get out of debt? Do you think people can get along? Do you think that you can forgive? What's healing you? What's holding God's promise for you? Don't you dare pray for Candace, if you're not convinced that she can conceive.
Well, how do I know she can conceive? I don't know nothing.
Take this hand, go over there, and say, the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis chapter 1. Quote the verse, pray it. That's what we had to pray. The Bible says he wants people saved.
Do we need to ask him, Lord, do you really want to save this person?
You think the Lord hasn't already said he wants people healed? He wants people saved. He wants all of those things. The problem is that we, the executors, we, the ones with the authority, succumb to baloney, bologna. We need to quit eating baloney and start operating like we got it, because we do. Listen to what I said. Start operating like you got it, because you do. I can't change that in you. I'm trying to preach it so you will say, that's me, and I'm going to do something about it. If everybody here starts doing what I just said, we will not be able to have a service for all the testimonies of how 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, not, gotta skip that. Gotta skip that. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. All the ones that have debt. Can you want to get out of debt? Do you agree that debt makes you a slave? Did God say that? Did God say it about his people that they were going to lend and not borrow? You know, God prophesied that the Jewish people were going to be bankers. What's stopping you? There's some sayings. This was going to be my title. There's some sayings that are not in the Bible, but sound like they're in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Right? Not in the Bible. It's not Proverbs so-and-so, whatever. Is it? So we dismiss it. Wait a minute. Did God require cleanliness when it came to getting close to him? Oh. So as far as God is concerned, cleanliness has got to be right next to me. The principle is there. Cleanliness is next to godliness is not. But the principle is there. There's another principle in here. And the principle is, God helps those who help themselves. Is that in the Bible? No. Is that in Proverbs? No. It's in 1 Tony chapter 1, verse 7. I want that book. Yeah, you want that book. Okay? So, in 1 Tony chapter 1, verse 7, it says, okay, God helps those who help themselves. The answer is, he does. He does. I'm trying to tell you that unless you start helping yourself, unless you start acting on the promises, unless you start acting as if you got it, you ain't going to get it. But if you start acting like you got it, you're going to get it. And nobody can stop it. Let's stand. So I went for an hour again. Let's close. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I thought that maybe I should pray get the wax out of our ears. But that's not the problem. The problem is not that we haven't heard. It's a shema problem. The problem is not that we haven't heard. The problem is that we're not acting as if we did hear. Right? So we're not shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the number one commandment. Yeshua affirmed it. Look, that's what we need to do, shema. We need to shema about anything God said. And when we shema to whatever that is, that means prove that we heard by doing what it said. Listen, if we apply that to our lives, this is going to be an awesome congregation. I'm going to start charging. And then sending 2x2s with a and we'll send the app to collect money. So all of you can go around the community, heal people and do all those things. And then go, would you like to give an offering? And just collect it right there. I tell you, we did that. We own this building. I'm kidding. Okay, Marilyn, okay. Tony, please. I'm kidding. I'm sarcastic. I'm kidding. Father, in Yeshua's name, Lord, I pray that it will get into their kishkish. Is that right? How you say it? Kishkas. Did I get it right? Kishkas. Okay. Lord, get it in our kishkas. What? That we're going to be doers. That we're going to be action people. And that we're going to prove that we heard what you said or we read it by doing accordingly. And we're going to become the army of God. Lord of hosts, you're with us. You're with us in the fire. You're with us as a shelter. You're with us in the snow. You'll be with us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Oh. From this point forward, you need to take into account that every time you say Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, you're making a commitment to be Shema people. Let's be Shema people. And let's act as if we believe it. Let's act like we trust that he'll meet us there. That he provides supernaturally. In some ways, I wish that Carly was here. So that I could ask her questions like, okay, who gave you a loan? Who donated money to you? Okay? Who fixed your car? Stephen? Maybe Stephen fixed it. Well, listen, how did you get it done? Well, I don't really know. I just knew that I was going to get it done. That's all God needed. She started to move in that direction. She's like the woman with the issue of blood. I can't get there. I'm going to get there. Well, you can't get there. You're an outcast. I'm getting there. I'm going there. Well, there are 1,000 people. I'm going there. Look, they'll get out of my way. It didn't look like they were getting out of her way, by the way. So she had to press in. Press and press and press and press. When she got there, she just got as far as the crawling on the ground. She got as far as his foot. And instead of tickling him, she said, oh, if I touched his garment. So she did. What did Yeshua say? Who touched me? I mean, she got the song. You touch me, oh, you touch me. Something happened, and now I know you touched me and made me whole. Well, she didn't touch her, she touched him. Wait a minute. How did he perceive virtue going out of him? Because it did go out of him. And how did it happen? Because she did her part. She did her part. She did her part. My friend, she got what she was looking for. And Yeshua, in talking about those circumstances, continued to always say, thy faith has made you whole. What kind of faith?
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it, okay? So how are you going to spend less? I don't know how I'm going to spend less. Where am I going to get money? I don't know where I'm going to get money. I don't have any education. I don't have a job.
We got all the excuses. How about, Lord, you said of your people that we will borrow none. We'll lend. You said of your people, none of those diseases. Did he? What did you join? Did you join some kind of ragtag outfit, or did you join the sons of Israel? Have you joined the sons of Israel? Are you Israel? We're part of it. Well, then the promises apply to you. Have you ever thought about that? You could be the banker. Listen, leave here changed. Change your attitude. The Lord won't act unless we give him the authority. In terms of perceiving the supernatural, we not only have to say he has the authority, I'm giving it to him to do it, but we also need to get off this chair. Get off the couch. Get off the pity party. Get off whatever it is and say, yes! So what you going to do about it? This little tiny baby step. I'm going to tithe. Baby step. Good thing to say, well, I'm going to tithe since it's 10% of my income and I have zero income. Then we're going to tithe zero. You think that God will honor that? If you're intending to do it and you start doing it and you get a dollar, so they give 10 cents next week, or you get $50 and you get $5 the next time, that you just give this little miserable thing. What was it that happened in the temple? Everybody looking around saying, oh, Yeshua goes, you see that one? They put $10,000 in the offering. You see that one? She gave all she had. Oh, somebody's looking. Yeah. The kingdom of heaven is looking for a few good men and women that will do what the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be doing, that will accept the rules of the kingdom of heaven, enact the rules of the kingdom of heaven, and change the freaking world. That's what I want us to do. Lord, I pray that you would get inside these people. Lord, I pray that they would become smart people. Lord, I pray that they would stop negating, stop the negative, stop talking that what can God not do? He can do anything. Let's start becoming those people that say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. If you ever get hungry and don't have nothing to eat, quote it, man. It is written, God shall not live by bread alone. Lord, I ain't got no bread. You'll get bread. Maybe more. Did Carly say that she'd been having a really hard time? Or did she say that she got to this point and like, oh, it was magic. It was magic. Was it? Then we can all partake. In Yeshua's name, may all of you partake of his blessing. And you are dismissed. Yevarechecha Adonai veYishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha vichunecha yisa Adonai panaveilecha ve'asem lecha. Shalom. In Yeshua's name. I mean, Stephen, would you do this, please?